We have with us today Lucy Grondahl, correct?
Yes.
I want to make sure the pronunciation is right. Out of curiosity, where and when were you born?
Well, I was born in St. Louis. I was a child of the 50s. I grew up in the 50s. Just kind of a Leave It to Beaver neighborhood. My best friend was named Lynn Stokes. He lived just on the other side of the Gentys' house. So it was Lynn's house, and then Ricky Gentys' house, and then my house. And Lynn and I used to play all kinds of tricks on poor little Ricky Genty, but we kind of figured he deserved it. We were really the best of buds for like 3 years, you know, from third to sixth grade, and then I went to junior high school, and Lynn was 2 years younger than I was, so we just kind of grew apart after that for a little bit, but I still think of him fondly. He's in Texas now, and he has a band called Soul Survivor. It's a pretty good band. It opened for Bob Dylan once, which is pretty cool.
Hey, where are you located now?
I live in Rock Hill. I live about maybe 3 minutes from where I was born. I live with my son and my two grandsons. We really have a great old time together. Mike is 37, and Jeremy is 11, and David's 9, and we always go to all these really weird different festivals. Mike, at one time, was part of the Red Bull Flutog. And Flutog is where you build these very strange vehicles that are like self-powered flight, and they push you off of a 30-foot dock over a river, and then you see how far you can fly. He made a bicycle with wings, doesn't have like a 20-foot wingspan or so. It was a lot of fun. It went about 31 feet. Well, actually went 1 foot and 30 feet straight down. But it was a lot of fun. We've been to the Pumpkin Chunkin' Festival in Morton, Illinois, where you build catapults and you try to flip pumpkins and stuff. We also go to, the Collinsville Horseradish Festival every year, because you're talking to the champion horse radish root racer in America. Yeah! Three or four years running. It's a lot of fun.
I can imagine that's a story in itself.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get started telling stories?
Well, when I was in kindergarten, I almost flunked, because I flunked a reading readiness test. And so my dad, he took me to the principal's office, and he handed me a copy of Tom Sawyer. And he said, read it. And I read it. And the principal said, well, I guess you can read. My dad said, yep. So the principal said, well, I guess you're not going to flunk. And my dad said, nope. And he goes, well, what do you say we skip her a grade? And dad said, nah, we'll just keep her where she is. So I was good at reading, and I was good at math. I mean, my dad, he always did a lot of that stuff with us. But I couldn't kick a ball and get to first base to save my life. And that's what really counted when you're a kid, you know, is being able to do that kind of stuff. When I got to be in the fourth grade, every Friday we would write a story in class and read it. And one Friday I'd written a story. The teacher said, it's Lucy's turn to read her story. And this kid in the back of the room kind of scooched down in his seat. And he said, oh, boy, Lucy's story. And then I knew what I could do. I knew I could write. I'd always been involved in drama, too, and you put writing and drama together and you get storytelling. So that's when I really, you know, kind of got into it. Later on, I had Michael. I told stories at his daycare center, and one of the moms heard me tell, and she said, wow, you're really good. So she hired me for $20 to tell at her child's birthday party. And so that's the start of, that was my first paying job. And just went on from there.
Out of curiosity, what is your best kind of audience to tell to?
Oh, elementary schools. I would rather tell in an elementary school than anywhere else. I'd rather do that than be on TV or anything. You could blindfold me and just put me in the middle of an elementary school. And I could you can just tell by the vibes how an elementary school feels. It just has the most wonderful energy. And elementary school teachers, are like librarians. I mean, I just worship them. They are so cool because they haven't quite grown up yet. Or maybe the thing is they haven't forgotten what it's like to be a kid and what the really right things are to do. And I mean, like, okay, like they have this thing here in St. Louis. I guess they have them everywhere. Like if you get a ticket, you call 1-800-TICKET-NOW or go away tickets or something, and you pay the guy, you know, $75 and ticket is just disappears, you know, kind of thing. But can you imagine if you got caught chewing gum in class or something and the teacher said, hey, you got to stay after school, and you said, hey, I'll tell you what, here's $5. What would happen then? You'd get cleaned, you know? But somehow between being a kid and being an adult, the rules changed. And teachers and librarians, they understand the real rules, the right rules. It's simpler and more to the point. Elementary school kids, if you start telling stories and you start to lose them, you know that you're losing them, and you know you better do something. You better do it quick, if not sooner. You just really know where you stand, and you can, I don't know, I mean, I just really relate well to kids like that. It's just a lot of fun. You know, that's just sort of where I belong.
What is the most interesting place you've traveled to tell stories?
Well, every year, this governor we had in Missouri named Carnahan, he had a huge party for all the kids in Jefferson City or all the kids around, you know. And he would, like, open up the governor's mansion. He'd invite Six Flags to come and magicians and puppets and trees and stuff. I got to be the storyteller for this a couple of years in a row. And so, I mean, I got to tell stories at the governor's mansion. And they had, like, 50, not 15, but 50,000 kids. I mean, just huge amount of, massive amount of kids, you know, and then they'd kind of file in the front door of the governor's mansion and just file out the back door. I mean, just, you know, just kind of take a quick look at the dining room or something as they went, you know. I was off right behind the kitchen, right out the back door, where I'd be doing stories. And the kids would see me as they'd come out, and they'd see that I was doing stories. But then they'd, like, run around and see all the Six Flags stuff and all the puppets. And then when they got done with all that junk, then they'd come back to me. Because I'm not, you know, it's not flashy. Storytelling isn't flashy like puppetry and stuff, but they'd always come back because they'd see, you know, they'd see what I was doing and stuff for the other kids that had already, you know, the Six Flags stuff and got bored with it and then came back to the storytelling.
One of the videos I have of you is the chicken licking dog.
Yes.
Now, how did you come up with the chicken licking dog?
Well, the chicken licking dog was based on the best dog I ever had in my life and best dog I probably ever will have in my life. And her name was Aunt Fanny, and she was an older English sheepdog. And I named her Aunt Fanny because she looked like some English lady with a great big carpet bag and a big straw hat that would come in and go, "Hello, I'm your dear Aunt Fanny." And she'd go running around and everything. And one time I came home from shopping, and she was underneath the bushes, just sort of laying there, and I look, and there was a bird on top of her gathering hair for its nest. This is how mellow this dog was. She was such a good dog. She was just real friendly, and the chicken-licking dog was a very friendly dog when it came to chickens. And the chicken-licking dog was a fuzzy individual, just like Aunt Fanny. I guess one of the things is that I was really involved with preschoolers at that time, and I wanted a story that had, they looked up, they looked down, they looked left, they looked right, you know, and things like that. And Chicken Licking Dog at one point gets caught in a trap and he's up in a tree. Chickens looked up and then they save him and he drops down, and that kind of was part of it too.
What was your draw to the Chicken Festival?
It just sounded fun and goofy. Mary Garrett told me about it, and, you know, I like those goofy festivals, like I said before, and Chicken Licking Festival sounded nice and goofy.
Chicken Licking Festival, okay. Who is your greatest influence as a teller, and go from there?
Jackie Torrance. Jackie Torrance was my absolute greatest. I love Jackie. I worship Jackie. I got to know her, and I got to stay with her for a few days. In fact, I have Jackie's chair and her footstool in my house. I want to get a little plaque that says Jackie's chair. You know?
No, Jackie sat here?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Who is your favorite tellers now, and have you met them?
Well, oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of like ice cream. Like, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? You know, it really depends. I've got some top tellers that I really love. Bill Harley, right now, I'm really into him because he has this one song that is this bear singing, "Come on out and dance with me. Come on out, oh, can't you see?" And the audience is making sounds like crickets going chickity-ta, chickity-cha, and, you know, and rugs are going boom, 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 boom. And it's like a whole orchestra, and I love that, and I want to learn how to do that. And I talked with Bill a little bit about that, and he was so sweet, and he talked with me about that, and I told him that I didn't really have music background, and he said, "That's okay, just do it like as a rhythm, you know, start out learning just doing different rhythms and things." So he's up there, and Ron Adams, who's a local storyteller here, tells the most wonderful ghost stories you could ever imagine. And he's begun to make up some really good, scary stories. So I'm very, very excited about him. Donald Davis, I could just sit and listen to him just for the heck of it. And David Novak, oh my gosh, good old David Novak. He does this wonderful story about the snake in disguise, which he said I could tell whenever I wanted as long as I gave him credit, which I do every time. Yeah.
Unfortunately, our time is up.
I'm